Sometimes we can look at things and think, this is the same old thing, you know, day after day, you know, punching into the same job, whatever it might be, or school just always seems to be the same and just gets kind of boring, you know, the same old thing for dinner, you know, and you're wearing the same clothes day after day, and the TV programs are the same thing, and you know, just your friends want to go to the same old places, and you know, you're always getting the same old results. So how do we change that? How can we get out of whatever rut we may find ourselves in? Well, I think we have to decide to do something new, to do something different. You know, to maybe look through your closet or your drawers and find some clothes that you haven't worn for whatever reason. If you're like me, there's some that you don't fit into anymore and hope that you will someday, but haven't got there yet. But, or, you know, you look up some new recipes, find some new menus, watch something new on TV, or better yet, turn it off and do something else. Meet new friends, or take your old friends to new places. But the thing is important in this is that it takes an effort on our part. And that may be uncomfortable at first and takes some getting used to for us. You know, because if you're trying to do something different with your family or your friends, you know, they may say, well, you know, we don't do this, you know, we've never done this before, we've never gone to that place, or, you know, I heard that place wasn't too good, so I don't want to go there. So don't be afraid to make some changes that you see need to be made, because if you try it, you never know, you might like it, and the old familiar, you know, you'll still go back to that sometimes, but you may enjoy the new as well. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks that we have the opportunities for many choices in our lives. Some things we don't, but in a lot of areas of our life we do. And Father, I think it's the same with you and in your word. Sometimes after we've been reading the NIV Bible for years and years, maybe we need to find a new version and get a new outlook on something. Or a passage that we're so familiar with in a certain version to look at it in a different way that'll make your word new and fresh to us. So, Father, as we look at your word today, Lord, we're going to look at something familiar. So help us to get some new insight from you. And in order to do that, Lord, you need to open our ears and our eyes and our hearts. And, Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit will guide us and direct us. So the title of this podcast is familiar, so that should be a clue that we're going to look at something that's familiar to most Christians, and I'm assuming to Jews as well, because we're going to be in the Old Testament, but even to many that seldom, if ever, go to church. So if you were to take a guess at what we're going to look at, what would you guess? That's right, Psalm 23. I think that psalm has been requested at just about every funeral that I've ever done, whether the family was churchgoers or not. You know, some people would say, you know, I want you to use that, you know, about the shepherd and the sheep thing, you know. They're not really familiar with what it is, but they've heard of it at least. You know, even if they haven't attended church, you know, it's one of those things that many can recite while, you know, driving down the road or washing dishes or whatever it might be, because it's, you know, just become a part of who they are as believers, kind of like the Lord's Prayer. That, you know, it's just something that you know and you don't really have to think about. You can spiel it off. Now, the 23rd Psalm, there's many books that have been written about it. many commentaries. There's a lot of songs that have sung about it. There's probably countless number of sermons that have been given. I know that I've done some before, and this isn't a copy of one of those. But I'm going to attempt to break it down line by line, not verse by verse, but break it down even more. And so I'm going to use several different versions, maybe several in one particular line or another. But Psalm 23, to me, still sounds, I don't know, the best or the most familiar, I guess, in the King James. And so I'm going to use that for each line and then go with some other versions from there. And, of course, we'll look at the original Hebrew and see, you know, what we can maybe get out of it that we maybe haven't heard before. So I want to do what maybe it would be difficult to do on a Sunday morning in a message. But so let's get started. And as we all know, it starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd." And every version that I've found pretty much uses shepherd. The Passion Translation also calls the Lord my best friend. So that's not that far off, because what it means here is a friend or a keeper or someone that watches. So the importance here is the relationship. Okay, Jesus tells us that a good shepherd knows his sheep and that the sheep know him. Not the same as being watched by the hired hand. That there's that relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. So it goes on to tell us, "I shall not want." Now, Hebrew tells us that we will not be lacking. The New Living Translation says, "I have all that I need." The Message says, "I don't need a thing." And I like those. The Passion Translation says, "I always have more than enough." Now, I don't think God promises us more than enough, except the fact that he gives us an abundance so we can give to others. And that is something that he does do. So maybe in the Passion, that's their thinking, you know, that I always have more than enough so I can share with others. So God meets our needs to the point that we should be able to look at what we have and say, you know, I do have more than I need. And so because of that, I can share with those that have little or nothing at all. So we see God as our source. That's what we get from this line, that God is the source of what we have. You know, because he's our shepherd, we have enough or more than enough. And that it's him alone that meets the needs that we have. Now, you may say that, well, you know, I get my paycheck every week or twice a month or whatever it might be. But he gives you the ability to earn that paycheck. Excuse me. Or, you know, I get my source is my pension or Social Security or whatever. Well, you know, in a pension, you know, he gave you the wisdom to keep some of what you got and to put it away for this time of your life. So God is our source. So moving on, it says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." And most of the translations talk about the green pastures. So that's a place where sheep wouldn't love to be. You know, they don't want to be, you know, where it's all rocky or dry or, you know, just a bunch of stubble and all. They want to be in a nice green pasture, just like you and I. We want green pastures in our lives as well. But they want to be able to just enjoy it and to lie down there and to just have that security. So in order for them to be able to do that, they have to have security, knowing that they're safe there, that they're not just there for a meal, that they're there because they feel secure. And they feel secure because of the shepherd. So he leadeth me beside still waters. You know, peaceful, quiet, still waters. Not just there for a drink, but, you know, more than that. To be able to know that that they're safe there by the still waters. You know, I know that you have probably heard that, you know, sheep aren't considered to be the smartest animals on the farm. And that's pretty much a true story. If sheep are left on their own and they're thirsty and they spot water, they're going to go for it. And they're in. They're not going to be concerned, you know, if there's maybe a rapids right there, they're just going to see the water and know that that's what they want. So the sheep, they're not known for swimming. They don't have webbed feet, but they have lots of wool, and that would become saturated. And in waters that are not still, the current would just kind of carry them off. You know, I mean, they may try to do the back stroke for a while, but to no avail. So that's why the shepherd leads them to peaceful, quiet, still waters, because there they have that security as well. So he restoreth my soul. The Passion Translation says, he restores and revives my life. And the New Living Translation says, he renews my strength. Now the Hebrew there is nefesh, which means self, man, soul, life, will, and many more, when it talks about the soul. So what this line shows me that is that God gives us healing. He restores us, that he brings back that strength that we need. You know, he sees that we're getting worn down physically, mentally, emotionally, and he meets those needs. And so he is the healing that we need. He comes and comes alongside us, and he heals us when we need it. So he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Okay, the New Living says he guides me along right paths. And I like what the Message says. It says, he sends me in the right direction. Okay. Us Christians often talk about walking with God or our Christian walk. Jesus talked about the wide gate and the narrow gate. And so the road leading to that wide gate is wide, and the road leading to the narrow gate is narrow. And I sometimes think I'm headed towards the wide gate. I'm on that wide road. You know, because that road just seems to be so smooth. You know, there's several lanes. There's lots of other people on it. The scenery seems to be really nice, you know, enjoyable as I'm walking along. And there's, you know, lots of places to indulge in different things. And then all of a sudden, God jerks me back into reality. And I say, oh, yes, right, Lord, I can see that I'm headed in a way that I shouldn't be going. And so he puts me going in the right direction. And so what this line tells us is that God gives us direction. Now, sometimes we already know the direction that we should be going. And sometimes it would be nice if the Lord would say, okay, you need to slow down. There's going to be a turn up ahead here. And wouldn't that be great if that's the way God communicated with us? I know, you know, we're at a place in our lives right now where we're trying to sell our house here and trying to move, and you know, not knowing what's going to happen when. And you know, it would be nice if God said, you know, just wait, you know, on February 2nd somebody's going to come to your house and offer you what you want for it, so you'll be able to do what you need to do. But hadn't done that yet. So his directions are usually sometimes, quite often, more subtle. Or are they? You know, the Bible is full of God's directions. And sometimes we need to dig a little bit. We need to pray a lot. We need to have more faith to realize that God's directions are coming. So at the end of that line, where it says, "He leadeth me in paths of righteousness," it tells us why, and that is for his name's sake. The New Living Translation says, "bringing honor to his name." Now, a lot of other versions are similar to the New Living Translation there. And this tells us something important. This tells us that we're needing to be on the paths of righteousness, or in going in the right direction, because that means that we're following his purpose. Okay, we need to bring glory and honor and praise to the name of the Lord. And we have to be going in the right direction in order to accomplish that purpose. You know, as believers, if we're headed in the wrong direction, we're certainly not bringing glory to his name. We're not doing this for his name's sake. Then comes a line that I think is really important, where it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Most other versions are pretty similar. Some say, you know, the darkest valley. So what is that about? I mean, why does God allow that? You know, like the song says, you know, "I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden." And that's very true. You know, you didn't become a Christian because you knew that you would never be sick. You knew that you would always have all the money that you needed and all the stuff that you wanted. And, you know, that's not why you became a believer. You became a believer because God was going to be with you in the midst of whatever, including that shadow of death or that darkest valley. Now, Jesus tells us that the world's going to hate us because it hated him. And I think more and more we're finding that to be true. That people won't say that they hate God or that they hate Jesus, but they hate the things of God. They hate the things that God wants us to be doing. And so that's an important part of our Christian walk, that we find that we're going to be going through that valley of the shadow of death. And that's for the testing. And like it or not, that's when we grow. You know, if we lived someplace where the sun was shining every day, you know, every morning at 7 o'clock, the sun came up and stayed up until 8, 9 o'clock at night, and the temperature was just right, and there was always a nice breeze blowing. And, you know, from about 1 to 3 in the morning, it would rain because we'd need that rain, but just at night, you know, not any other time. You know, if we lived someplace like that, we wouldn't really appreciate that rain. We need the rain to appreciate the sunshine. So just think about it. You know, what has made you stronger? When everything is going right, or when you're being tested? You know, when have you gained the most strength? You know, while we're going through the testing, we're not real excited, but we realize that, you know, those are the times that we really grow, when we're being tested in our faith. So here's a good part of this verse, because it's telling us that while we're going through that dark valley, I'll fear no evil. New Living Translation says, I will not be afraid. And the Passion Translation says, fear will never conquer me. And I like that. You know, like the contemporary Christian song says now, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. 1 John 4:18 in the NIV says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. So when we know Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we have perfect love. And so if we're resting on that perfect love, we know that fear has to flee. And so God is giving us his protection, which is something that we know that we need. And that's what we learn here in this part. But there's even a better part to that verse where it says, for thou art with me. The Message says, you walk by my side. The New Living Translation says, you are close beside me. This tells us of the faithfulness of God. Deuteronomy 31:6 in other places tells us that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That when we're in that dark valley and when we feel so alone, we need to realize that that's a time that God has never been closer. And the closer we've come to God, the more that we know that he's there. You know, when you've deepened your relationship with the Lord, it's easier to feel his presence. And so when you put that all together, that verse, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. An important part of that is, you know, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, when I go into that valley and stand there and wait and, you know, I'm filled with fear and anxiety, you know, I'm walking through it, and I'm only walking through it because the Lord is with me. And then it tells us, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Message says, your trusty shepherd's hook makes me feel secure. Now, the shepherd used that rod or staff for many reasons. One was to guide the sheep in the right direction, and to use it, you know, one of them started to run off in the wrong direction, he could use that shepherd's hook to catch that one. Another one was to ward off the predators. You know, if he had the sheep gathered together and, you know, found the wolves or coyotes or whatever were coming, you know, he could use that to scare them away, to get rid of them. And another was to test the depth of the water. You know, he's leading his sheep to the still waters, but, you know, the still waters may be 4 feet deep too. And so he would need that rod, that staff, to test the depth of the waters. And all these things were good for the sheep. And so this tells us of the discipline and the direction of the Lord, that the Lord uses things to guide us and direct us and to discipline us. And one big thing that he uses to do that is his word. You know, you and I, if we know that we're headed in the wrong direction, you know, quite often that the Lord's word will come to us that, you know, you shouldn't be going there, you shouldn't be doing that, and this is why you need to get back on the road. You need to be going in the right direction. Okay, and thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Most versions are pretty close to this. Of course, more modern language than that. But this has always been a line that I kind of wondered about. You know, I mean, what was the meaning? You know, when my enemies are, you know, after me or attacking me, you know, God's going to give me some food. You know, is that what it's talking about? Well, when I'm being battered by my enemies, you know, what do I need? Well, I need God to show up. I mean, think about Elijah in 1 Kings 18. Okay, he had challenged the prophets of Baal. You know, we're going to see, you know, whose God is really God. And Elijah needed God to show up in the presence of his enemies. And God came, and God, you know, defeated Baal and, you know, gave Elijah the victory. And so this gives us hope, knowing that when it looks like that we are or may be defeated, God shows up. You know, he alone is our hope. You know, it may not be as dramatic as with Elijah, but we know that he's going to be there. Okay, and then thou anointest my head with oil. New Living Translation says, you honor me by anointing my head with oil. Not something that we hear a whole lot about today, unfortunately, but we often see this in the Old Testament, the passing on of a blessing, or the anointing of the next king or the prophet that would be anointed. And it's an act of consecration. And, you know, that word has many different meanings to it in itself. In communion, the elements are consecrated, declaring them to represent the body and blood of Christ. Or it can be used in ordaining in the ministry, or someone that's beginning a ministry, or someone that's going into the ministry. But it's something that's a great honor. And it's kind of funny when I got to this part that, you know, just yesterday, someone talking to us about passing on the anointing and how important that is. So then, my cup runneth over. New Living Translation, my cup overflows with blessings, and the Message, my cup brims with blessings. Okay, this line shows us the abundance of God. You know, especially if you live in the United States, you are blessed beyond measure. You may look at others and feel that you're not blessed. Well, if you do, you need to look the other direction, because you won't have to look far to see others that would love your life. You know, we often compare to ourselves to those that we see that, you know, they have the bigger house or the newer house or the newer car and nicer clothes, and, you know, they go on all kinds of vacations and it seems like they just have no problems. You know, their kids are star athletes and they're, you know, on the dean's list and everything. Well, how about this? Why don't you compare yourself to that bald little boy or girl that you see that's going through chemo? Why don't you compare yourself to that person that's having to walk to work because they don't have a car, or their car's broken down and they can't afford to fix it? Or why don't you compare yourself to that person that, you know, had to drop out of school because they didn't have the money to be able to continue? Or maybe that person that you see at the intersection that's holding the sign and, you know, just doesn't have anything, it seems like. Or compare ourselves with Christians in other countries. You know, I don't know where you are that you're listening, but there's some places where, you know, you can't gather to worship. You know, or if you do and you're found, you know, you could be arrested, could be beaten. You don't have a Bible, not because you don't want one, because they're not available, and because you're afraid that if you had one, that you would be arrested for that, or, you know, for sure that it would be taken from you. So if you're able to be listening to this podcast, you know, you're blessed with what you have and the freedom that you have. So surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, The Passion Translation says, "Your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life." Most versions use love instead of mercy. The Hebrew there is chesed, which means kindness or pity or mercy. David is trying to let us know that our blessings are not momentary, that God doesn't just bless us when we first come to him and then forget about us, that his blessings, you know, continually come to us, you know, sometimes bigger than others. Sometimes, you know, we recognize them as God's blessings. Other times we don't. But that his blessings are eternal. Well, as we finish up the last couple bits of this, it says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord." I like what the Message says. I'm back home in the house of God. How does that line make you feel? Probably pretty good to know that you're welcome back into the house of God. Instead of, you know, I'm going back to the house of drug dealers and thieves or whatever, you know, that would make you feel pretty insecure. Not a place that you want to dwell. But the house of the Lord offers security. And that's something that everyone wants. I don't care how old you are, or male or female, it doesn't matter. You know, that you want that sense of security. You know, there's a lot of times where we see the homeless people that are gathered, and, you know, some of them have dogs, and you wonder, you know, they can't feed themselves. You know, why are they having a dog? Well, that dog is their security. Protects them, protects their stuff. Well, God is our security. When? Well, the last line tells us, forever. Which means just that, eternity. That there'll be no end. That God is always going to be there. God is always going to provide for us. God is always going to protect us. God is always going to guide us and direct us and keep us going in the right direction for an eternity. And, you know, we all spend eternity someplace. You know, I think it's wrong for some people to say that, you know, being a Christian gives you eternal life. Well, it gives you eternal life with God. Because if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to spend your eternity with God. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to spend eternity in hell. There's no two ways about it. You're going to spend eternity someplace, you know, and like say sometimes, you know, smoking or non-smoking. It's either going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. Father, we just give you thanks for your word. And as we look at something that may be old and familiar to us, Lord, help us to not take it for granted. Lord, help us to always look at your word as something new. And Lord, like I said in the opening, that, you know, maybe looking at familiar passages in a new version will help us, or, you know, breaking it down, whatever it might be. But Lord, to know that your word is new for us every day. And so, Father, I lift up those that know that and love that and are working hard to come close to you. Lord, I lift up those that are believers but are struggling and sometimes getting off of the right path and headed in the wrong direction. Lord, help them to be open to your guidance and your direction. And Lord, I lift up those that don't know you, that have not made a commitment to your Son, and that if their life were to end right now, that they would not spend their eternity with you, that they would spend their eternity in eternal death, not eternal life, because they would spend it with Satan and not with you. So Lord, let them know that there's only one way to change that, and that is through belief in you, belief in your word, to know that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for their sins, that they're not too old or too young or too rich or too poor or too strong or healthy or too weak, that they haven't sinned too much. That, Lord, anyone and everyone is welcome to come to you. And so, Father, help them to know that and to accept that and to accept the fact that Jesus died for their sins and that he rose from the dead and that he's coming back. And that they need to be ready before he gets here. In Jesus' name, amen.